I really see how the Lord works, you know, in the messages, and that's always good to see that, you know.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight is our work. We'll continue the thought. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I told Paul a little while ago, I said the exact same thing this morning that he said this evening. Did you hear that when he said, a lot of times we tell people to do things and we don't explain how? I said the exact same words this morning and he got and said in the seat. I thought it was really neat. And you know, we need some instruction, don't we? We don't just need preaching telling us what, you know, we need to do this, need to do this, but we need instruction, you know, how to do that. You know, and so we've tried this morning to talk about our devotions and how to have devotions and the different aspects of our devotions and the meditation and the adoration and those things. And we'll continue that in the morning, that part of that message. But in this message, I want to talk about our work. I wanted to kind of catch some of you guys that aren't able to come, you know, in the mornings because of your work, and I wanted to encourage you with this message. Having been in the ministry full-time for 10 years and then going 3 years doing electrical work and trying to do the work of the ministry too, I learned some valuable lessons there, a lot to learn, but you know, you got to come to a place to where in your job place, that is your ministry. That is your work that God has for you to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight in a little bit and how to serve the Lord in your job place. But in Genesis chapter 1, I want to read verse 26 and verse 27. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would bless with the message tonight. Open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, to hear. And Father, I pray that You just bless Your people tonight through the teaching of Your Word. And may encourage us, Lord, to know that You have a work for us to do in every aspect of our life, everywhere we're at. Let us do it to You. In Jesus' name, and amen. I say this morning, back last year, almost a year ago, I began to read a book entitled The Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. And it was just a really good book, a really challenging book to me and my manhood and trying to be a godly man. And so I developed a series of messages from that book. And, you know, when you read something that's really getting a hold of you, you know, and you're really thinking about it, you know, you do that as a preacher. You know, you start reading a good book, you'll end up preaching from it sooner or later, and as the Lord blesses you in that. And so I've developed a series of messages from that, and I'm going to use some of those here with you this week and as we began this morning. But I want to talk about our work. Our work. This morning we talked about our private devotion, and now we're going to talk about our work here in just a little bit. But most of the time, first of all, by way of introduction, when you hear this passage read a lot of times in verse 26 and verse 27, or you hear it quoted, a lot of times it's to teach, you know, just on the Trinity. You know, because there's a good teaching there. It's obvious when God said, "Let us make man in our image." He uses plural, and so we see a part of the Godhead there, and using the plural. And to teach that Jesus has created all things, we can teach that from there as well. Now, we may quote this passage to thinking about, you know, man being a three-part being and all those things. But with taking all those things into consideration, when you think about the book of Genesis in the beginning and what God is doing here, we see that God is, up to this point, just up to where we're at right here in Genesis 1, right where we're at, verse 26, verse 27, what do we know about God? What do we know about God? I mean, let's get rid of the rest of the book, but right here at the very beginning, what does God, first of all, seek to reveal about Himself from the get-go? One, that He's God, okay? One, that He creates everything, but we also see that God is a worker. God is a worker. And God's always at work, and we always say that, don't we? But God is a worker. You know, many think that work is bad, don't they? They think work is bad. Boy, we work is bad because of the fall of man. And that is, in a sense, true. But what you don't understand, that we don't seem to see sometimes, is that God established work before the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So man was a gardener before the fall. And so God established man. He made man to work. Listen, I hate to burst your bubble, but you, if you think that you're going to get to heaven and you're not going to be working, you're wrong. We're going to be working. Now, but it's going to be much easier. I will say that. It's going to be much more enjoyable. Work became hard after the fall. We do see that. And so that's why we shouldn't like work for that aspect, is because of the sin. The result of sin, and it's made it hard. By the sweat of your brow, God told him in Genesis 3 and verse 17 through 19. That's part of the curse. He told Adam in verse 17 of chapter 3, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." I found it interesting, you know, there wasn't the thorns and the thistles, you know, before the fall. But Adam had a command to dress the garden and to keep it before that. The gardening was a whole lot easier back then. And it became a whole lot harder after the fall. And so definitely work has gotten harder. So when I say we're going to work in heaven, it's definitely going to be a whole lot different than what it is right now in these sin-cursed, in this sin-cursed earth. I want to talk about the world and our work. Millions of people regard their work as something that they must bear. And it's something they must bear. There is a dark cloud of dissatisfaction that blankets today's workforce. I mean, how many people really are happy at work? Only 1/10 of American workers say they are satisfied with their jobs. 1/10. There are actually two main problems in the workforce as a result from this dissatisfaction. I believe we could say that they are laziness and overwork. But both are a result of dissatisfaction. One man is dissatisfied, so he is very little motivated to do much. Another is dissatisfied, so he works even harder to reach higher goals to be satisfied. But a lot of times the motivation is dissatisfaction. In the book, The Day America Told the Truth, tells us that only 1 in 4 employees give their best effort on the job. So if you are a boss, if you can figure out, you know, what 75% that is, that it's not doing their best, you can get rid of them, you'd be really good, you know, it'd be great. And only 1 in 4 give their best. Now, even though slothfulness is an epidemic, so is overwork. I've seen both cases. You know, I've seen people who were just lazy, and I've seen people who worked too much. Both of them are a problem. There was an illustration in this book I read about this, and it mentioned about a plant in Akron, Ohio, which isn't actually very far from us, but they actually took a step to hopefully try to help people not to work so hard. And they paid them full pay, but only had to work 6 hours instead of 8. And what happened there was that over half of them took another second full-time or part-time job. They was already making the exact same money, and what I understand, decent money, only had to work 6 hours to get it. And so because they had extra time, they went and all got more jobs so they can make more money. I can understand that if they didn't make enough money, but this didn't seem to be the case. And it may be that discontentment may lead to much slothfulness, while covetousness sometimes leads to overwork. Now the sad part in that surveys have indicated that the work ethics of professing Christians, now they said Christians, but I'm going to say professing Christians, and non-Christians were virtually identical. There was very little. In the polls they took of people who said they were Christian and those who said they weren't Christian, there wasn't a whole lot of difference in the outcome of the answers. Now, many are swearing allegiance to Christ while at church, but their morality is camouflaged in the workplace. And many Christians are failing miserably in the workplace and being a testimony of Christ in that workplace by a good work ethic. In that same book, in The Day America Told the Truth, I just found these statistics really interesting. It did an opinion survey which guaranteed, you know, privacy to all those, you know, that did this survey. So people were expected to answer honestly I mean, it was private. Nobody would know who did it. And here was the answers to some questions. The question was asked, whom have you regularly lied to? 86% said to parents, 75% to friends, 1/3 of AIDS carriers admit to not telling their lovers. Most admitted to goofing off at least 7 hours a week at work. That's a whole work day lost. Another question was asked. Now this one's scary. You think that was scary? And another question was asked, what are you willing to do for $10 million? I mean, nobody's going to know what you answered, okay? The answers, 25% would totally abandon their families. 23% would become a prostitute for a week. 7% would kill a stranger. I'm glad we all know each other here tonight, aren't you? And there's any visitors for the first time, and boom, they're going to go out them doors. I don't know them people. There's 50 people or 3.5 of them want to kill me. If anybody's willing to put up the money. But you know what? I mean, that was alarming to me. It really was. I mean, I go to Walmart. Sometimes I don't know anybody in there. You know, that's scary. But you know, I started thinking, I thought, that is really scary. These are people that was supposed to have been answered. Honestly, I don't know exactly how many it was and all that. But you know, I just think that those things are interesting because I think it just really gives a telltale sign of people's integrity. People's integrity in the day in which we live. There are businesses out there that make money on helping people to rise to the top through deceit by selling research papers. I mean, you can actually get online and buy research papers for a class and something you don't have to write, and somebody will write it for you and you just pay them. I mean, businesses make it like that. In a paper presented at a symposium on employee theft, sponsored by the American Psychological Association, the authors pointed out that inventory shortages cost department stores and specialty chains $8 billion every year. Now, of that $8 billion, 10% is attributed to clerical error, 30% to shoplifting, and a whopping 60%, or, like this, $16 million a day to theft by employees. $16 million a day. Well, if people would just get honest, we could turn this whole nation around. If people would just quit stealing. I mean, that is amazing to me. Now, the book The Day America Told the Truth also pointed out that women were half as likely to cheat or get ahead as men. So, well, that's the world. That's the world. That's the world like that. Professing Christians aren't like that. Another Gallup poll showed that 43% of non-church attenders admit to pilfering work supplies. 43%. Compared to 37% of attenders. So, 43% of people said they weren't Christians did it. 37% said they were Christians did do it. Now, sadly, Christians were almost as likely as non-Christians to, I'm going to list out some things here, falsify their income tax, commit plagiarism. I told you where I got some of these references, so just to make it clear. Bribe to obtain a building permit. Ignore construction specs. Illegally copy a computer program. Steal time. Commit phone theft. Exaggerate a product. Tell people what they want to hear. Selectively obey the laws. I mean, it was all about the same. There wasn't much difference between professing Christians and non-Christians. If you want to be a child of God and serve the Lord, listen, sometimes we don't think about the little things, do we? But it's so easy to serve the Lord. Hey, I'm against abortion. I'm against killing kids. Well, that's good. You should be against that. But what about the little things? Well, what about taking from your work? What about being dishonest? What about speaking the truth? You know, what about stealing time from your employer? What about, you know, exaggerating something to sell something? You know, lying about your product. What about that? What about copying things you're not supposed to copy? What about, you know, cheating and so forth? And all of those different things, all those little things. Listen, here's a quote here. This man was a German theologian. He said this, and I thought this was just good. And he said, the avoidance of one small fib may be a stronger confession of faith than a whole Christian philosophy championed in lengthy, forceful discussion. It's the avoidance of one fib. I mean, you know, we want to get people straight sometimes, you know, what to believe. But you know, whenever people see the integrity in the workplace and how we live our life at work and we're honest with the things we do and our dealings, I tell you, it makes our message that much more powerful. I mean, working in construction there for 3 years doing electrical work, and you know, and Paul's all familiar with that, and some of you other guys. You know, you've seen all these guys come and go, and you see a lot out there. Man, people will do anything to squeeze a dime. And I mean, they'll do anything to maybe cheat a little bit. And I've seen it all the time. You know, God is not pleased with that. And, you know, God wants us to be honest in everything. You see people charging for things they didn't get. And you see people, you know, wanting paid for things they didn't do. And all these things. And it's dishonest. It's wrong. Amen. You know, God wants us to serve Him in every facet of our life. What would it be like as children of God if in everything we did it unto the Lord? Everything you did. Listen, we cannot compartmentalize our life and separate our religious life from our secular life. You know, we've got a habit of saying that, don't we? And we talk about ministry, what we're talking about doing the ministry of the Lord, we're talking about things we do at church. And that's wrong. We talk about ministry, and we're getting involved in a ministry, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, and I believe that a failure to understand what I'm trying to get across tonight has led to what we see a lot in some modern day churches. We need a title, we need something, a specific, a ministry title for something, so that we can be involved in the ministry. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, in our church, we have other things going on. But what you need to understand is that there's a place for you to serve in your own home. There's a place for you to serve in your workplace. We cannot separate our life. I mean, I go to work 8 to 10 hours, and well then if I can, I'll do some church work later and be involved in the ministry some. No, you have a ministry in your workplace. And just being a person of integrity and honesty in everything you do, in the way you carry yourself, the words you speak, I mean, everything about your life speaks volumes about who you are. How we work not only reveals who we are, but determines a lot about what we are. Here's what I want you to realize tonight, is that our work matters to the Lord. Our work matters to the Lord. Your plumbing matters to the Lord, Paul. He wants you to do a good job. Don't hold back the glue, man. I mean, plop it on there. He wants you to do a good job. What would it be like if all Christians did as good a job on all their workplaces as if Jesus Christ was right there and He was the one they was doing it for?
Amen.
You know, the very first job given to man was for him to be the gardener, as we mentioned. I suppose that it may be that farmers are some of the most looked upon by society as possibly as the least. But yet that was the first job that God gave to man. Not too many people go to college for 4 years to be a farmer. Our society gauges men and women's worth upon their work, don't they? The worth is usually based upon the amount of money they make in their work. Not necessarily their job performance, but how much money they make at what they do. The truth is that our work matters to the Lord no matter how much money we make. God is not impressed by our money, but I think He is impressed by our work when we do it unto Him and being faithful and true in it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." I believe we have a great temptation to divide our work from God. From secular, you know, to sacred. You know, we don't look at our work as sacred, we see it as secular, and we need to get that mindset out of us. Listen, I had to deal with this mindset. When I did 3 years of electrical work, I mean, I felt like I was serving the Lord, you know, I was doing electrical work, and I was serving the Lord, or I wasn't serving the Lord doing electrical work sometimes, you know, but then, you know, I was doing it after work, you know, trying to get that in, you know. You know, I had to come to realization, you know, I was serving the Lord at work too. You know, I do electrical work. And the people I was around, the people God brought into my life, and when I finally got a hold of that got a hold of me, it made it somewhat exciting for me because, you know, I was in different places all the time, going to different homes, and I was looking at it as opportunities, and, well, God wanted me to go to this house, and because He had somebody there for me to talk to, and try to be a witness in some way. And I just pray that God would show me that and lead me to those people and help me to be a good witness and how I behaved and all of the things that I did. Whether I got a chance to talk to them about Jesus Christ or not, I was just in the way I carried myself that they would know that something was different.
Amen.
As a child of God, we need to realize that everything we do is to be sacred. It is to be done unto the Lord. And when you have that mindset, it will change you drastically. And your work as a child of God will not be a dread. It will not be a dread.
Amen.
When you can get up and know that, you know, you're going to go work on the plumbing pole and you're doing it for the Lord, it'll make you a lot happier. I mean, pretend like you're doing plumbing on the new mansion, you know? I mean, do a good job. Everybody's going to see it. I mean, do a good job. At Colossians chapter 3, I want to read just a few verses there. Colossians 3 and verse 17 to 24. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatsoever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, as a child of God, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Man, he's going to talk about all kinds of stuff. I mean, what's he going to talk about now? Well, he's going to talk about, you know, and we can list off some things, and by listing them off, we don't mean anything against those things. But he's going to be talking about, you know, some powerful ministries. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, he is going to talk about some powerful ministries. What's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about your home. I mean, you know, we clip verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Man, what's he going to talk about? Wives, submit to your husbands. Or submit yourselves to your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I mean, that verse 17, I mean, that's a powerful one. That verse 23, well, that's a powerful one. Do it unto the Lord, not unto men. And what is he talking about? Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Workers, servants, do your work to the Lord. We need to get a hold of that. It'll change your happiness when you have to get up early in the morning. Believe me, I know. I know. When I had to get up at 5 o'clock every morning for I don't know how long, for it was eternity. That's hard. And you guys get up earlier than that, some of you. And I know guys that get up at 3 o'clock all the time. And I was like, man, that's a calling from God. And that's tough. But you know what? Whenever we get a hold of you, you know I'm getting up for the Lord. I'm going to do this for the Lord, you know. And getting up in the mornings, having those devotions we're talking about, and get out there and leave the house in the mornings with your mind on the Lord. So I'm going to do this for the Lord. And whatsoever I do, I mean, I want to do a good job for Christ. Because He's watching me. He's seeing if I cheat a little bit on something. He sees, you know, if I don't really do something just right because I'm trying to cut off a little bit of time so I can be a little bit lazy about it. He sees all those little things. See, He knows. He knows when you cheat the system a little bit because you're just lazy or you just really don't care. He knows about that. He knows every bit. He knows the little corners you crawl in or try to hide from the boss because you're lazy. You know, He knows about those things. He knows when you're not giving your best. He knows when you're taken from your employer. He knows. He knows that you took it home when you weren't supposed to. He knows that. He knows about every bit of it. And you know, we need to realize that, and not just a sense of fear about it, but a matter of excellence that we want to do right before the Lord.
Amen.
And so see the context of Colossians 3. You know, you need to realize wives. I mean, he says, you know, be submissive to your husbands, and husbands love your wives. When you do that to the Lord, understand that is part of your service to the Lord. And I've come to realize this, that many men are losing their ministries because they're losing their homes. They really are. And you see it all the time. And when we need to have strong homes in the Lord's churches and families that are operating according to the Word of God, and husbands and wives being what God has called them to be. So everything you do, think of the context, ladies, and talks about being a wife and, you know, and being a parent and all those things. I mean, whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. I remember Tom Ross. He'd always say this. He'd say, ladies, change diapers to the glory of God. You know, and I'd always think it was funny, you know, but I thought, that's kind of silly. But I understand what he's talking about. You know, everything you do it for the Lord. And it'll change your whole mind. It'll change you when you can come to see that. I mean, young kids, I mean, do your schoolwork to the Lord. I mean, maybe you don't like it. You know, you think your mom liked changing your diapers? She didn't like that either. Mercy. But you know what? When you learn to do your schoolwork to the Lord, I mean, you know what? It'll change you. Well, everything that you do, men, you are greatly tempted to gauge your success in this world by how much money you make. But God cares about your work, not about all that money. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Love your wife, your children, and know that God cares about every aspect of your work. Your work as a husband, a father, a servant at work, a servant at church, the things you do there, all of it matters to the Lord. No woman or man should allow their worth to God be based upon how much money they make. I'm afraid that Christians fall or fail to do their work unto the Lord, and because of such they come to a place that they don't seem to enjoy their work at all, because they don't see the spiritual significance of their work. Well, if you can just let... Can I say it again? Thanks. I'm afraid that Christians fail to do their work unto the Lord, and because of such they come to a place that they don't seem to enjoy their work at all, because they just don't see the spiritual significance of their work. What's the spiritual significance, you know, of just raising your kids? Oh, a lot. You need to see that. Teaching them the things of God and being a positive example to them of righteousness. I believe many people feel like the writer in Ecclesiastes 2:17 when he said, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I mean, that's not a good passage to memorize and say over and over. You know, when a man or woman despises their work, they are in essence despising their life. I mean, your work, that's where you put a lot of time into that. You start despising your work, you're despising your time, and the time you spend there, and you know what, you're not enjoying life too much. We need to let our life, you need to let your life, who we are, define our work. Not our type of work, define who we are. God cares about our work because He cares about us. The Lord wants us to do all we do unto Him, and cause others to see Christ in us, no matter what our occupation in life may be. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Be the best plumber, be the best computer technician, be the best garbage collector the world has ever seen, because you serve the Lord Christ. Let's consider three practical things about our work. First of all, work with energy. Work with energy. The Proverbs are full of teachings that warn against laziness. There's so many characteristics of a lazy man in Proverbs. I'm just going to list them out to you. And I've got 10 characteristics of laziness listed in Proverbs. 1, he makes excuses for why he can't work. 2, he loves sleep. 3, he keeps his hands in his pocket. or under his arms. That's actually in the Proverbs 26:15. You've seen people like that. There's Bible for that. He thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Proverbs 26:16. He'll never be a good leader. 12:24. He won't take care of his stuff. 12:27. He keeps company with the careless. 18:9. He doesn't prepare for the future. 6:6. He can't be trusted to do an errand. Something chapter, verse 26. My hole punch knocked it out. I don't know where the chapter's at. But I do know it's there. He has big dreams, but no ambition to see them through. That's chapter 13, verse 4. I mean, the Lord hates laziness. He said to the one servant who did not use his talent, what did He say? Thou wicked and slothful servant. God hates laziness. You know, I hate it too. I hate it in me when I see it in me. Secondly, work with enthusiastic faith. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 23, where we read, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You see, men, you may have a boss that you don't like, and you may have good reasons not to like him. He might be mean. He himself might be dishonest. He may have cheated you. He may have lied to you. He may not be a very honest man, and you're working for him and you don't like it. Let me tell you what, you need to remind yourself that ultimately you're not doing your work for Him, you're doing it for the Lord. If you're going to have joy and you're going to be able to stay with that job and do a good job, because if you just see yourself as working for that man, your testimony as a Christian will diminish because you won't have ambition to work for somebody like that. And I don't blame you, I wouldn't either. But you know what, that's why you got to get your mind on the Lord, you're doing it for Him, and you'll do a much better job. Because if you see yourself as just working for that numbskull, I mean, you're not going to do a very good job. But when you can realize you're doing it for the Lord, it'll change you. You'll be a lot better worker than anybody else. I guarantee you, underneath that kind of leadership, you will stand out. Enthusiastic faith, so do it unto the Lord. I believe it's clear that there is a reward for wives, mothers, fathers, husbands, children, servants, who do their work to please the Lord. Look at verse 24. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person." That's verse 25. Verse 24. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." See the context of that. We think of rewards. I mean, for the famous evangelists and the famous preachers and the famous people that did all those things. There are rewards for faithful fathers and faithful mothers and faithful children and faithful workers in the workplace who do their work to the Lord. There's rewards for that. Amen. That's what it says. That's the context. There it is. God's going to reward you when you do a good job at work for the Lord. You're doing it for Him, to Him. That's great, isn't it? Don't skip on that glue, brother. I mean, put it on there. That sounds funny, but you know what? I remember coming to a place where everything I was trying to really, everything I did, I was doing it for the Lord, trying to do a good job. I hope I have a reward for every staple I put on them wires. I really try to put them on there good. Trying to make it look neat. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. My poor boss, my cousin, he thought I was doing that for him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers." Now, there's a lot of guys, that's when they work, right? When the boss is looking. "But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." He's talking to servants, that's workers. "With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." When you do it for the Lord, we must remind ourselves daily to do our works unto Christ. I believe if we can remember this, then it will help us to discipline ourselves to do our work with excellence. Work that is Christian is work that ought to be well done, no matter what field that you may be in. Your work is Christian work. Your work is Christian. What do you do, Andy?
Concrete manholes.
Make it Christian work. Do a good job. Do your best. You know, let me tell you what, because if you don't do your best and somebody sees that, they don't see as a man who just didn't do their best. They see a man who's a professing Christian that didn't do his best. That's what they see. In every aspect of your work, make it Christian work. Do it with excellence. Work that is Christian is work that is well done. Well done will be the words that the faithful workers of Christ will hear when God finished His creation. He looked at all of it and He said, "That's good. That's good." And you know what? It's nice, because when you do Christian work, you do work of excellence unto the Lord, it's nice to get to the end of the day and look at it and say, "That's good. I did a good job." Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with a man taking pride in his work in the sense that he did a good job. A man ought to be able to rejoice in his labors. That's what Ecclesiastes teaches us. You ought to be able to rejoice in that. Go home at the end of the day with a clear conscience, a clear mind. You did your best for the Lord. You did it unto Him. Christians should be the best mothers. They should be the best hairdressers, the best nurses, the best doctors, the best electricians, the best plumbers, the best garbage collectors, the best concrete pourer, whatever you said you were. Everything. Be the best. Anytime I talk about these kind of things, I think about it. A young man, Charles Spurgeon talked about, that thought he was called to preach. And he said, "Why do you think you're called to preach?" He said, "Because I can't do anything else." And he said, "Listen, preachers will be the best at everything they do. And they'll do their best." You know, but that's not just preachers, Christians. Christians will be the best at everything they do. We need to let all of our secular work be our sacred work, no matter what it is. Do it with excellence to the glory of God. All our work should be done with good work, because it's done at its very best, not because we want to make more money, but because we're doing it unto Christ. Let me tell you what, you do that good of work that you're doing unto the Lord, somebody's going to take notice, and somebody's going to see what kind of excellent work you're going, and there will no doubt be rewards for that even here and now. So ask yourself some questions in all that you do. Do you work for the glory of God? Do you honestly work hard? Do you work with enthusiastic faith? And do you do excellent work? I believe we can find out a whole lot about ourselves by looking at our work ethic. There's a whole lot of signs. When you look at your work ethic, there's a whole lot that can be said about your spiritual well-being by looking at your work ethic. Our walk with Christ will reveal itself by our attitude in the work we do. And so I just want to encourage you to know this, because, you know, I know. And Paul's thinking about you some as I was getting this ready. I know I referred to you a little bit, but I know you're a good sounding board up here, and you don't mind that. But you know, you want to be in the ministry, you're serving the Lord, and you're going to do plumbing work, and sometimes you separate that, you know? Don't. There's no need to. You be the best plumber you can be and be a good witness. All of you. Everywhere. I mean, Christ has you where you are for a reason. I mean, I'm so thankful. I mean, it was hard, you know, those 3 years doing that electrical work and trying to be church evangelist and help the church to grow and teaching in a college and helping with the school and all that for 3 years. It wore me plumb out. It really did. And you know what? I had to get focused at everything I was doing. Not just what I was doing in the evening after I got home from doing electrical work. Everything I was doing all day, it was for the Lord. You know, when you have that mindset, it really helps you. Because, I mean, I believe my work performance, I believe it was even better, because I wasn't doing it for my boss. I was doing it for the Lord. And that just makes it so much better. So much better. You want to work hard, you want to do better work, and do it right. Do it right. I want to encourage you, because, you know, we do have busy lives, and sometimes we think we're not doing much for the Lord. We don't. We get up in the mornings, it's a routine, we go to work, we come home, you know, we feed the kids, we're there with our family, we go to sleep, we get up, we do the same thing. And, you know, we don't feel like we're doing anything for the Lord. Let me tell you what, if you're walking with the Lord You're loving your wife, you know, you're doing a good job at work, you're being a good testimony in your work ethic and honesty and integrity. And you're coming home, you're helping with the kids, and you're doing what you can with them. Let me tell you what, let me commend you before the Lord. You are doing a good job. You're doing good. Keep it up. It's good, it's right, it's the work of God. And don't let anything make you think it's not, because you're not in some kind of big famous ministry for all the world to know. You're in God's ministry doing God's work. You keep it up. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to speak the Word. And I pray, Lord, that it could just be an encouragement to the people here, to the wives, to the mothers, to the fathers, the husbands, to the children. Everything they do, let them do it unto You. And Lord, there are rewards for faithful mothers, rewards for faithful fathers and husbands. And Lord, I just pray they could see that tonight. And as they serve their family with excellence and do it unto You, that You're watching and You know all that we do. And there will be rewards for the family man who serves Christ. There will be rewards for the mother, the wife, that faithfully serves her husband and her children. There are rewards in heaven awaiting them, an inheritance that You will give them because of their faithful service. Remind us of that. And may each of us enjoy what we do because we do it unto You. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Brother Wayne.